Think glamorous jobs. And high school teacher probably isn't near the top of the list. Young people joining the profession are told to expect low pay and long hours. What ends up surprising them is the sense of isolation. They're surrounded by hundreds of students all day, but many teachers say they crave more time with their colleagues to share ideas and compare notes.
In Seattle, Roosevelt High School is taking a first step to provide such time to teachers. All this year, NPR's Robert Smith is sending us occasional stories about life at Roosevelt. He has this report on the often lonely days of teachers.
At most other jobs, you show up early in order to get some extra work done. At Roosevelt High School, many teachers come in early just to spend some time with their coworkers. At 6:15 on a rare snowy morning in Seattle, Herb Williams is at his post at the teacher's break room, making the first pot of coffee before the other teachers show up.
He makes the best coffee in town.
They call this the Burnt Toast Club, a moment of calm before the students arrive.
There's a lot of laughter and joking, and we try to steer away from shop talk.
No member of the club seems to stay at the table long. It's a quick cup of coffee and a brief chat before they head back to their rooms. Elsewhere in the building, most teachers are already at their desks, correcting papers and planning for the day. For the next 7 hours, it's difficult to find a corner of the school that doesn't echo with the collective sound of 1,700 students. The teachers are rarely alone. With 5 minutes between classes, there's almost always a group coming in or going out.
All right, make sure you turn all of your work into the bin.
And even after school, the students are lined up at Jennifer Pellariti's desk to contest their low grades and hand in late English assignments. When they finally clear out, Pellariti slumps into a plastic chair and admits that despite being surrounded all day, teaching can be lonely.
There are days when I will specifically go seek someone out just because I haven't had an interaction or a conversation with an adult all day long. And not that I don't like my interactions with my students, but it's just, I think people do take for granted sometimes the fact that when they go to work, they work with adults.
Pellariti has friends and coworkers that work a mere 50 feet away, and she doesn't get to see them. Her lunch and prep period are filled with the papers and busy work that can eat up a teacher's time, and a staggered schedule means that her colleagues often don't have those same times free.
I mean, we have time to say hello, but it's just in passing. Or maybe you'll get lucky and you have lots to run off at the coffee machine and someone else walks in and they have lots to run off, so you have a conversation. But that's about it.
It's especially difficult because these days there's much more that teachers need to be talking about. They're being pushed to come up with new reforms, meet state standards, increase test scores, and teach collaboratively. When there's no time to talk about these things, Pellariti says the students suffer.
Particularly with at-risk students, students who come to Roosevelt from eighth grade who are already at risk of not being successful. I think that those students more easily fall through the cracks when there's no continuity. I feel like if a group of students has a team of teachers working with them, it's pretty easy to say, you know, Joe wasn't in my class, was he in your class? Yeah, he was. Well, then we need to find out why he's not coming to first period.
And students are the first to notice when their teachers aren't communicating. In the halls, any teenager can tell you a story about having to write identical papers for different classes, of major tests all scheduled for the same day, of teachers covering the same topic at the same time without realizing it. And senior Crystal Hamlin says when they try and collaborate, it often doesn't work.
I've had teachers start out a semester and say they're going to plan language arts and history together and make the subjects connect. And as the year goes along, they just stop talking to each other, and you can tell because they start going in completely different paths and start getting away from the subject and not continuing in that.
It's been especially hard for new teachers to make these collaborations work. To get to Meredith McGann's classroom, you have to leave the school, head for the football field, and it's the last double-wide trailer on your left. McGann is a new special education teacher, just out of grad school, and her first 5 months have been tough. Some nights the janitor has to tell her to leave at 11 p.m., and despite all the time she spends here, she doesn't know many fellow teachers.
I would fail a quiz miserably. I hate to admit that, but I can't even tell y'all their names.
The school district sends a mentor out to McGann's classroom twice a month. and she says she tries to take lunch with some of the other teachers, but she's been surprised by how much a teacher has to go it alone, especially out here in the portable classrooms.
When I want to run over and ask someone a question, it's not like I can go to the teacher next door and say, I'm going to leave my class for 5 minutes. Do you mind just keeping an ear out for them and making sure they're not... I mean, I have to go into the other building and then up the stairs, and I mean, just little things are difficult.
There is hope, though, at Roosevelt that a small change can help. The school received a modest grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to try new strategies in education. As committees of teachers and administrators debate what to do with the money, they've come up with one suggestion so far: having students show up to school a couple of hours late, every couple of weeks or so that teachers can have time to sit down together. Jennifer Jones, a Spanish teacher, helped design the plan.
Even those little blocks of time, if they are consistent over each semester, 6 times a semester, that would be huge. It would make a huge difference. I know it seems like it's little, but there are a lot of things to overcome to put together such a small change.
The administration at Roosevelt is willing to try it. It's the parents they have to sell the idea to. Before the JV girls' basketball game, the stands are dotted with attentive moms and dads. Like most of the parents here, Clayton Forbes would be willing to consider more planning time for teachers, but he wants to know how they'll be spending it.
If I knew for sure that the teachers were going to enhance their expertise in their chosen field, rather than just use it for planning for the next week, I'd be more in favor of that.
Another parent, Lynn Hunter, would love to give her son and daughter a chance to sleep in once in a while, as long as it doesn't cut into the overall time that teachers spend with students.
It seems like every time we turn around, they're out of school.
What is up with these
for students? In-service or midwinter break, holiday. Yeah, that is a concern.
And a concern at Roosevelt. Schools have to look for ways to get more common planning time without reducing classroom hours. Across the country, some districts are trying the design solution, creating schools that are smaller, where teachers work closer together. Others are trying longer class periods with teachers who work in a team. But there is another resolution. At the Burnt Toast Club before school, the longtime teachers were saying that after a while, you just get better at planning on the fly, and you start to love the solitary nature of the job. Dean Brink has been at Roosevelt since 1961, and he wouldn't trade the independence of a teacher's life.
I mean, to be 8 hours a day confined to an office or a cubicle and working consistently with adults, I'm not too sure I could adjust to that after 40 years of working with kids.
Robert Smith, NPR News, Seattle.